When do we make our move?
Just before we reach the top of the pass, Compton. The train will be going slow enough that it'll be easy to get it stopped.
Who's going to go up on top? Because I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to get me on top of a moving train. Most especially in weather like this when it's snowing and the tops of the cars is likely to be slippery and all.
Don't worry about it, Compton. I'll go. I've stole a lot of rides on freight trains. And I've run on top of a lot of cars in good weather and bad. Won't bother me none at all to run along the top of these cars. I'll get the engineer's attention. As soon as I get the train stopped, you three take care of the deputy. Once we have Santilli, we'll cut the engine free, then go on down the other side of the mountain and leave the rest of the train sitting up here on the track.
I know you said you stole rides on a lot of trains before. You sure you can drive this thing?
Drive it, Morris? Who said anything about driving the train? I don't have to drive it. All I have to do is stick a gun in the engineer's gut. Then he'll do all the driving. Yes, sir, he'll be more than glad to take us anywhere we want to go. At least, he'll take us anywhere we want to go as long as there's track to run on.
I'm going to ask you again. I know the board says he has the money, but seeing as we're the ones that's actually taking a risk here, what do you think? Do you really think Santilli has the money to pay us?
I wouldn't be doing all this if I didn't think there was some payoff in it. I sure ain't doing it because me and Santilli are tied.
1 hour after they left Buena Vista Depot, men could feel by the angle of the car that they were just now starting up the long grade that would lead them to the top of the pass. The train also began to slow, going from a rapid 20 miles per hour down to no faster than a brisk walk. Looking out through the window and into the darkness, they could see by the whirling white flakes that the snow had intensified since they left Buena Vista.
Remember, make your move as soon as I get the train stopped.
You can get the train stopped, can't you?
Yes, Morris. Don't worry about that. I'll get the train stopped, all right.
All right. We're all ready, so let's do it.
Parker passed through the front door and onto the vestibule. He climbed up onto the top of the express car, ran across it, then jumped down onto the tender and moved toward the engine. He saw the engineer with his hand on the throttle and the fireman standing alongside, leaning on his shovel. Neither of them saw Parker.
Hey! Engineer! Stop this train!
The engineer and the fireman didn't hear him, but they heard the gunshots fired into the air, and they looked around in surprise.
I want you to... Ah!
Looking up, Parker saw an avalanche of snow cascading down the side of the mountain, started by his own gunfire. Tons of snow swept him from the top of the tender. The snow continued to come down until Parker, the engine, the tender, and most of the baggage car were buried under hundreds of feet of snow. Kelly, Morris, and Compton had braced themselves for the jarring impact and were immediately on their feet.
All right, boys, this is it!
Kelly and the other three advanced toward the seats where Proxmire, Santilli, and Luke were sitting.
Hello, Santilli.
Do not speak to the prisoners.
Proxmire turned away from the window. He was shocked to see a gun was being pointed directly at him.
What a...
Shut up! I'll shoot the next person who makes a sound.
Santilli held his hands up, showing his cuffed wrists.
The deputy has the keys in his jacket pocket.
Morris reached into the dead deputy's jacket pocket to get the keys to the handcuffs and leg shackles. And a moment later, he was free.
What about him?
Morris indicated Luke Chardine.
Should we take off his handcuffs?
No. Just shoot the son of a bitch and be done with it. Better yet, give me a gun. Let me shoot him.
Acting quickly, so quickly that it caught the others by surprise, Luke stood up from his seat and shoved Santilli back into Morris. Luke dashed out the back door, Then he leaped off the vestibule and into a pile of snow that was nearly as high as the rail car itself. He disappeared at once. The three-armed man rushed to the back of the car and out onto the vestibule. Kelly fired into the snowbank. More snow came sliding down.
Don't shoot again. If you do, you could bring a whole mountain down on us.
Son of a bitch. Where did he go?
It don't really matter much. Hell, it's below zero. He ain't wearing no coat. Like as not, he'll be froze to death in no more than 10 minutes or so. What I'm wondering is, what happened to Parker?
I expect he's up in the engine, keeping the engineer and the fireman covered till we get up there.
So what's the plan now?
We go up to the front of the train.
Yeah, we're gonna unhook the engine and go on down the pass, leaving the rest of the train up here.
Good plan. By the time anyone figures out what happened, we'll be long gone. Come on.
The four men quickly climbed on top of the car. Then they realized the truth of the situation. The engine and tender had all but disappeared in a mound of snow 200 feet high.
What the hell? What happened?
What happened is the mountain collapsed on us. That's what happened. Like I told you, we're trapped here.